Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Okay, well, I'll get it started. And Erica, why don't you explain a little bit about what it is you do? You'll do a much better job than I can.
So I'm a brand strategist, which is a fancy way of saying that I help people figure out who they are and who they want to be in the way that they portray themselves to others. And so what that actually looks like in practice is that most people come to me because they know that they need to put something out there in terms of content, in terms of copy on their website, in terms of social media, etc. And what I do is I kind of work backwards from that concept of, okay, what's your brand messaging? In order to determine that, we need to really figure out what's the vision for the entire business, what's the direction that you're heading with that, and then who are you serving and what are their problems, and what's their dream outcome. And then I move into kind of working on exactly what it is that people are selling, what is the pricing, the packaging, the way that they're kind of taking their brain and turning that into something concrete that they can sell to other people.
Interesting. So what's your process like when someone just comes up and says, look, this is my website, am I doing it right?
So generally, it's kind of about identifying whether or not they've really thought through those steps that come before brand messaging. So a lot of people, they're getting into business because they have this skill, they have this kind of thing that they know that they want to put out there. And what I often ask is, okay, have you considered the way that that's being perceived by others? And so if it kind of depends on how fleshed out people have gone down the road of creating that vision, creating that ideal client avatar, creating those packages. And if those are all really solid, then we can start looking at the messaging and the copy and the content and saying, hey, does this actually relate back to the stated goals of what you'd like to be creating, the people you'd like to be serving, and the kinds of words that they need to hear to be able to be convinced that your product, your service is right for them?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, well, when I look at myself, most of the businesses I've started, someone took one of my offers, I made some money, and I threw up a website.
Yep.
And I think that's how most people do it, right? Or they'll go the opposite way. They'll create a business card, a website, then try getting clients. Mm-hmm. I really don't see people building client avatars and doing a lot of these pieces normally, unless someone like you comes along and says, look, this might maybe help.
And that's the challenge, is that it's not an obvious thing to do because we're usually coming from a position of, I understand myself and what I have to offer. But unless we ask the question of, does the person I want to reach actually understand what I have to offer, then it's really, that's why there ends up being a communication gap, and that's why messaging ends up being a question.
How would you help someone that's creating a website first and then trying to market, but the marketing is not working well, and obviously they don't have many customers yet, so it's hard to pinpoint who that customer will be?
Yeah, and that's a really good point to bring up, which is that sometimes throwing yourself into creating content, creating relationships, et cetera, can be a way to guide yourself to have a better and deeper understanding of who this customer might be. The people that I generally work with are people that have already kind of gone down a road of building an expertise in a certain area, working with people on certain kinds of topics, and and now they want to transition to either doing that more independently away from an employer, or if they're running a service-based business, they've usually been selling the implementation, the execution, and now they want to come and kind of have a new phase selling their strategy and their knowledge as their primary product. And so in terms of how do you kind of translate that into an ideal client, most of my people have really kind of worked with somebody that's related to the potential ideal client that they may be seeking in this next phase of their business. And so for those people, it's relatively straightforward because of the fact that you've got some experience interacting with people in the wild, performing these kinds of services, interacting with clients that are at least in some way related to the kinds of clients that you're going to be serving in your next phase. And so for those people, I really ask them to take a step back and look at, all right, what was it that I really liked and didn't like about different clients that I've worked with? What were the red flags in terms of people that kind of ended up being a little bit more troubled than they were worth? What really excited and inspired me about working with certain kinds of people? So for the kinds of clients that I typically work with, it's a relatively straightforward process. That being said, for people who have never interacted with their target market or never interacted in any meaningful way with kind of clients out in the wild, then it becomes a different process of really trying to refine how you can get in front of people, how you can do some of that background research and finding some resources online that may be able to connect you with the right kind of people, looking for associations where the types of clients you're looking for might be hanging out. It's a little bit of a different proposition if it's your first time really diving into that process. Whereas most of the clients that I work with, they're kind of building on past experiences. And so they have some intuitive knowledge of who their ideal client avatar already might be.
How do you qualify clients so that you know you're working with the right people?
This is why the very, very first step in my process is getting clear on the vision, because that is really the process of understanding who you are, what you want, and what makes you excited. And this is something that I think a lot of people who come from the very like numbers and science-based approach to business, which is totally valid, but there's something that they often skip out on, which is asking themselves the question of how does this feel? How does working with this person feel? How does my business feel? What's making me excited about going forward and working on this every single day? And so practicing that self-inquiry, practicing those check-ins of what is it that makes me happy? What is it that makes me really able to thrive and able to contribute to others? That's the starting place, the starting point that I really like to begin from in order to kind of create that list of qualifications. And so obviously it needs to be more concrete than just how am I feeling right now, but that's the place from which we can get to a solid conclusion about who we're going to be working with and what's going to actually feel good for us long term. And then from there, you can compile a list of the things that you're looking for. And this is something that I personally am very explicit about when I'm entering into this kind of conversation with a potential client. I have literally a list of bullet points that I pull up on the screen whenever I'm on a sales call and go down and make sure that they know that that's what I'm looking for before we even dive into the potential of working together, so that we can both be on the same page that they're really at the point that where it makes sense for us to even go forward with that conversation.
What sort of questions do you ask someone to get that clarity?
Do you mean to get the clarity
of initial vision, right? So you mentioned that the first thing is to get this vision of what they want to do, where they want to be. Like, what sort of questions do you ask to help them figure that out? Because those, you know, the better questions you ask, the better results you have. So you must have some good questions.
110%. Yeah. And I even have a workbook that has a 39 different exercises in it that are all about fleshing out the vision. And so that's something that I'm really passionate about, is asking the right questions. And what that really entails is a lot of questioning about examining what it is that you have liked in the past. Because I think that understanding what's actually happened when you take it out of theory and put it into practice is a really important element to consider. So for a lot of people, this vision thing, it's so theoretical, it's so abstract, it's hard to really wrap your mind around, okay, what is it that I want? And so coming from a place of examining, what is it that's felt good to me up until now? What is it that I've done that's really made me feel like I'm in my power around the contribution that I'm making to the world? These are the things that can then start create the starting point to say, okay, looking at what's actually happened when I've gone out and I've talked to people and I've helped people and I've just been doing my thing out in the world, now I can kind of sort through who am I and what in my environment is feeding me versus what's draining me. So that from that point of kind of assessing the past, you can start to go forward and look at the future and say, all right, what am I going to do to create the conditions where I am doing the activities that feed me and I'm doing fewer of the activities that drain me?
Before we continue, how did you get into this? Because from the glimpses I have of you from social media, I had a sense of some hippie culture, killing animals on an island. I really wonder, how did you get from that into brand creation and helping people with brands? You need to help me make that connection.
Very, very good question. Just so for reference, because I'm sure people are going to be surprised by that story that you threw out. I shared a little anecdote of this time when I was, and I shared this on my Facebook, this time that I was with a group of people on a remote beach in Australia, and we had to kill a boar to survive, which is one of my favorite stories to come back to. But something that, if anyone's interested, we can reach out to me and I'll share a few more details. But that actually was the period where I was really getting involved in my first entrepreneurial ventures, believe it or not. And so I ended up in Australia after a few years of teaching in Asia. And I ended up starting a business where I was importing from Thailand and India, and I was selling at markets and festivals around Australia. And that was something that kind of came naturally out of my knowledge of handicrafts from Asia, because I'd been living here for so long and really kind of connecting with that culture. And so I started to sell products, and I ended up building a whole online presence to support my physical products business. And so I was, for the very first time, thrown into social media, not as just a consumer and a participant, but also as a marketer. And so I really learned some of the ropes by testing it out on my own business. And then later, when I found myself back in America, I ended up splitting with my partner. And so I ended up losing that business. And I was wondering, okay, how can I take this to the next level? Started with social media marketing as a freelancer, and I ended up working with a lot of various clients from tons of different industries. And what kept striking me as very odd was the fact that I would come and say, hey, okay, I'm ready to do your marketing. Now tell me, who are you? What is it that you're all about? What would you like people to know about you? Who do you help? How do you help them? And the amount of people who were many years into their business who didn't have clear answers for that, for those questions that are kind of the fundamentals of branding, that was a really big surprise for me. And so I really started to help people with that, just as a necessary component of being able to go forth and do their social media marketing. What I discovered through that process was that it was actually that side that I enjoyed very much. And I really see it as kind of like the art side of marketing versus the science side that kind of comes a bit later when you're creating campaigns and optimizing them and all of that that goes into doing marketing effectively. collectively, all of that has to grow from an understanding of really checking in about what is this business all about? What is this business meant to achieve? What is this business hoping to accomplish in terms of outcome for others? And how can we really get that clear so that then we can create marketing that maps to the kind of brand that we want to be out in the world?
That's an interesting story. How long from the point where you, I guess, started this new business until you got really comfortable and had a steady influx of clients? Like, what was that road, that beginning road like?
So the beauty of it was that it was kind of a seamless transition for me. It didn't take much for me to get a few social media marketing clients, and that was literally the most that I could handle. And so literally, I started out just by making it very public that I was launching this new endeavor and talking a little bit about my experiences doing marketing for my own business as kind of a test case. And just through referrals and people that were kind of already in my warm network, I ended up filling my client load and sticking with a lot of those clients for several years. And so actually going out and seeking my own clients wasn't something that I really needed to do until I transitioned fully into specifically doing the brand strategy side of things, which in my process mostly involves coaching and involves coaching over time, because I think that things like the vision and the ideal client and how to package your services, these are actually things that take time to evolve and take time to really get to a place where you're feeling really confident about going down this road. Because I don't like to just come in and be like, okay, here's your package. And then 3 days later, it doesn't feel in alignment anymore and they throw it away, right? Like, that's not my kind, that's not my style. And so when I was looking for new clients for this side of my business, it was really a new endeavor, because instead of delivering marketing, I was really helping with the strategizing, the coaching as its own product, which was something I had been doing already for my clients. I just hadn't really been recognizing the value of that as a standalone offering. And that's actually something that I see really often in my clients nowadays, is that many of them have been selling implementation, have been selling execution, and they've almost taken it for granted that they're helping people with strategy along the way. And what we do together is often plot out, okay, how can you pull the strategy side of that out and start selling that as your product offering? And so I had to learn how to do that myself with my business. Fortunately, during the time that I had been a social media marketer and my client load was literally full and I couldn't take anymore, I had been building my personal brand on the side. And I had been named to Forbes list of the top 17 business gurus on Snapchat. I had kind of gained a lot of momentum with the things that I was talking about and kind of this blend of the business aspects and the really like checking in with who you are and what you want kind of side of what I do. And so when I was ready to transition to coaching, I opened that up and I was able to get a client base pretty quickly.
How would you help someone build up their personal brand? I think it's so difficult, you know, especially if someone doesn't have a business or anything behind them yet, but yet everyone thinks they should have one.
Yeah, and this is where I see that I went wrong in a lot of ways, is that I had been building my personal brand, but I didn't have a clear direction of exactly what I wanted it all to lead toward. And so for me, because I wasn't quite clear on where it was all going, it became really, really hard for me to produce results from all the effort that I was pouring into creating content, speaking out about things that I cared about, etc. And so this is why, you know, honestly, whether it's a personal brand or something that you're building under a business name, the process is really the same. It's understanding what you want to get out of this entire thing. It's understanding what you like to create create for yourself, and what's the difference, and where's that gap between where you are right now and where you want to be, so that you can start reverse engineering how to get from where you are now to that destination that you have in mind. And so that self-inquiry process is still a huge part of it. And then also understanding who it is that you're offering to help. It's really no different, because ultimately you're going to be sharing things that help people at some point or another. And so to have those closely correlated to somebody that might actually be able to give you money down the road, and to really start fleshing out, okay, what is it going to look like? What are the asks that I'm going to make in terms of asking people to give me money for whatever service or product you may be offering? That is certainly the fundamentals of a personal brand. That being said, there's a whole nother level that must be acknowledged as well, which is when you're thinking about what is it that you're going to do to put yourself as a human being out there online. I have a really strong philosophy around this, which is that ultimately, if you want to be intriguing to other people, a huge part of it is to be really conscious of the fact that you need to portray yourself as a full spectrum human, and that trying to go too much into one direction in terms of, like, especially most of my clients, it's the direction of trying to appear really, really professional and knowledgeable about one specific thing, actually can end up being a turnoff to people when it's like everything that you publish is really slick and polished and doesn't actually show your true personality. And so the workaround that I've figured out is that really what it takes is being able to stand up and own the fact that you're awesome, and talk about the ways that you are awesome and the ways that you're able to contribute, and the ways that you're able to provide value to people, because then they're going to know how like the kinds of things that they want to work with you on. And on the other side of the coin, also being able to own the fact that you suck at certain things, and that you're not going to be able to help everybody with everything, and that you've gone through the same challenges that potentially your clients are going through, that you've had your areas of failing, that you've had your challenges and your growth along the way. And I found that most people have trouble with one or both of those sides of really presenting themselves as a full human. And so for some people, really owning their awesomeness is really challenging. And other people, having the humility to be like, hey, I know I should be professional, but I need to admit that I'm a real human being that's not perfect. That can be a challenge. And so balancing those two and finding the right balance between them is, for me, one of the most overlooked fundamentals of a personal brand.
Yeah, that's super true. I think that's one of the mistakes I used to make too. All the posts on the blogs were just business, and when I actually started talking about some personal stuff, which I still don't much, some of the clients reached out. I was like, oh, Tom, you are human.
Right?
Yeah, it's super true. But it's so challenging, you know, like, just how much should you put out there?
Yeah, and that's a big question that a lot of people ask, right? Where's that line? And if for people that are kind of struggling with that, I have a really quick and easy little exercise that I think helps to get a jump start on figuring out what's a story that you could tell that would kind of bring people into the real experience of what it's like to be you. And so what I always do, and I do this in talks that I give and workshops that I've led, what it really comes down to is identifying something that you know you're awesome at, that you really want your clients to know about, probably something that relates to the kind of offer that you have to provide them, and then tracing back to what was it like when you sucked at that in your own mind, really charting that progress from when you were not good at the thing that you're now good at until now, where you own it and you're just amazing. And that's a really great little kernel of something that can be a little bit more vulnerable, a little bit more personal to share, but that still really portrays you ultimately as an expert, as a capable professional, as somebody that's going to be able to help people with the kind of challenges that they're going through. And I think people actually, you know, discount the value of sharing those kinds of stories. They think that ultimately they need to just say, hey, I'm awesome at this. But if people can watch how you've progressed and can kind of put themselves in your shoes, it's actually a really powerful way to convince them that you know what you're talking about on a deeper level, and that you can actually help them get to the place where you are at the moment.
I love it. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are about to do this exercise and you're in a car, pull over. I think it's super easy to start zoning out and getting distracted when thinking about it. As soon as you were going over that exercise, like, my mind started like going into it, but also defending itself. Like, don't, you know, it's a very powerful exercise, I think. You know, I find the two phrases, building a brand and then marketing yourself, sort of interchangeable and online, but they're not. Can you differentiate between those? What does it mean to build a brand and then to market yourself?
Absolutely. So it really comes down to the difference between branding versus marketing. Branding is defining who you are and what you want other people to know about you. And then marketing is the outreach aspect of that. It's actually putting yourself out there and interacting with people so that they can understand your brand. And so the branding aspect is almost like a strategic element that happens ideally before marketing, although in practice, rarely before marketing in a really thoughtful way. And so to segment those allows you to really focus, instead of getting caught up on what do people want to see from me, just starting off with the place of what am I capable of giving, and then transitioning into what people want to see from you, and then going out and testing that in practice through your marketing.
The people that approach you, what are the most common mistakes that you see that they're making when it comes to branding and the strategy?
So most people that approach me, the very first thing that they ask about is this aspect of, what do I post online? What do I say about myself? What should the copy on my website be? These kinds of things come up a lot because they're what we see in other businesses. And so when people get started, they're really focused on really mimicking the kinds of content that they see out there, and the kinds of things that they're impressed by with businesses that they like following online. And so what I always say is, that's like the tip of the iceberg. That's the part that's visible. That's the part that's poking out of the water. And it's like almost as if you were pointing over at an iceberg saying, like, I like that mountain right there, without realizing that there's this entire foundation that's hiding under the water. That's what allows that mountain to poke out. And so kind of putting that emphasis on, what do I publish? What do I put out there, before getting clear on, who am I? Who do I help? And oftentimes, because I work with a lot of service providers who are essentially trying to package their brain, what do I sell? What exactly do I sell in terms of time, in terms of expectations of what the client's going to get out of it, in terms of the actual dollar value of what I'm putting out there, right? So skipping those parts and just focusing on the publishing and the content and the outward-facing stuff without doing that inward-facing work first is by far the number one thing that I see happening that's slowing people down, and that's causing people to really spend a lot of time and energy creating things that don't necessarily produce results.
Got it. When would you tell someone that they need to rebrand?
Generally, it's something that people kind of know from their results. So if you're feeling that you're putting a lot of energy in to something and you're not getting the kind of return that you want, then it's time to kind of come back to the fundamentals and make sure that everything is aligned. Is the business aligned with what you even want to be creating? Because that's a huge question that a lot of people skip over. Because, you know, when we're getting started, right, we think about, okay, I need money. I need cash flow. Who's going to give me money, et cetera. What that causes is that a lot of people then just skip right over the idea of, okay, but I could make anything I want. Is this actually in alignment with the kind of lifestyle I want to have? Is this in alignment with the kind of work I actually enjoy doing with people? So coming back to that as a fundamental question, I think is something that I hear very, very few people in the business realm talking about. I think because it's kind of assumed to be a little too woo-woo for most people that want to consider themselves serious business people. But if you're not checking in about that and making sure that everything is kind of guiding toward a place that you want to be, you may find yourself ending up somewhere where you don't want to be. And that's, you know, a huge signal that it's time for a shift. Right. One of my favorite quotes is that pain is a sign that something needs to change. And so if you're not experiencing pain around your business, then why change it? You know, if it's feeling really good and in alignment, then that's awesome. But if it's not, come back to those fundamentals and start thinking about where is it in this process that you may need a little more time and energy. Is it at the vision stage? Or if you're feeling really good about that, then you can move on to stage two, which is looking at that ideal client, making sure that what you're doing is serving the people that you've identified as your ideal client. And if not, do you need to change what you're doing or do you need to change the kind of people you're serving? So asking those questions. If those things feel really good and in alignment, then it's time to come to stage three and really look at your offer, really look at how you're packaging and pricing yourself and positioning yourself. And that may be the place where you could use just a little work and have some major shifts.
I think that last one is very interesting, you know, because when things are going well and business is doing good, how much could be improved by really focusing it in and really getting the brand right?
It's a good question. And it's really about coming back to this question of where is the gap between where you are and where you want to be? Is it very minute and you're just keeping that kind of vision as something that's like a carrot on a stick to keep you going and keep you excited and keep you moving? Or is there really a significant difference and you're kind of feeling some frustration around how much further you want to be going, even though it's going well right now? It's really, you know, far be it from me to say that rebranding is the solution to everything. You know, that's kind of like, you know, since all I have is a hammer, then every problem is a nail. I try to avoid that. And I don't know that it's even something that everybody has to be considering. But as soon as you get to a place where you're feeling some sort of pain or anxiety or lack of alignment in some way, then it's time to check in. And that's really the kind of message, is that there's no prescriptive solution for anything, but checking in and of itself is a worthy thing to do if you're not feeling 100% right with what you're doing. This is kind of why, like, I've been joking around lately calling myself a business therapist, because it's, you know, there's an aspect of like, okay, so you want to have a business that feels good. How often are you actually asking yourself, what's it going to take for this business to feel good? If you're not feeling good about your business, there's not one solution for that, but it's a kind of a trigger that it's time for you to start looking for what solutions might ameliorate that process for you.
How do you help people figure out where they want to be? Because I think that's so tricky. And for a long time, people always told me, Tom, as long as you have your why, everything will be okay. And I really thought about my why. And I was like, look, I just don't want to be broke anymore.
And you know, and that's a huge thing that really kind of muddies the water for a lot of people, is that there's true economic concerns and there's true kind of a need to really focus on the money generating activities at the outset of any business, right? Because that's what's going to allow it to grow. In terms of kind of how do you get there? This is why the processes that I do with people are strung out over a period of months. And as I mentioned before, like I really don't just come in and do a one size fits all. Okay, here's the template. I'm filling it out for you. Or you fill it out and there you go. There's that direction. It's truly something that if it doesn't come from inside you and it doesn't come from kind of those moments and those sparks of inspiration inside you, then the chances of you sticking with that as truly your why and your vision are extremely low. And then everybody's time has been wasted, right? And so I think there's certainly a huge amount of a need for space around this topic, a need for checking out actually and not actively thinking about it sometimes so that the inspiration can kind of come to you. For those people though who maybe want to take a more active approach and are like, okay, I'm consciously going into this and I consciously want to change this right now, what I really recommend is putting pen to paper and not having any assumptions about what it is that's going to come out of you, just kind of allowing thoughts and ideas to flow out. And that comes a lot from a philosophy that I love that's best summed up with one of my favorite quotes, which is that thoughts disentangle themselves on the lips and on the fingertips. And so if you want to get clear on what your thoughts are and how you can proceed and what really feeling right for you, speaking about it and writing about it are two really, really powerful tools to kind of get to a place that you didn't even know you had hidden in your brain. Because thinking, just sitting there thinking in a vacuum, it can be really hard to produce a tangible result from that. Whereas sitting down and writing things out is really a game changer. And that's why the one of the number one tools that I use for it is my business vision workbook, which is all about these guided journal activities where you're really sitting down and kind of putting it in black and white. What is going on? For me, starting with a question and then just putting pen to paper, I get to answers that I had no idea were coming.
Have you ever thought about rebranding yourself as a business therapist?
I am thinking about that actually right now. It's literally something that's just come to me in the last couple of weeks. So I'm playing around with it, but I like that you picked that up because it may be a direction I go in the future.
Well, the more you're talking, I feel like this is almost like a therapy session. Like you're starting, you know, you're getting into that different flow of like, and now you need to take out your journal.
Yeah.
Which well, is good. I mean, I get, I'm all with it, but it just really seems like, you know, it's not like a going to an agency and they're going to help you with the brand. Like, okay, so this is what you need to do. It's like, you're very like, sit back in your chair and let Erica talk to you, that type of thing.
Ideally, actually, it goes the other way around. And that's the thing, right? Is that ultimately what I'm saying, and though I may be speaking a lot in this situation, what I'm saying is that I can't give you the answers of what's going to make you feel good about what you're doing. But what I can do is ask you the right questions so that you can get to that place. And that's ultimately really what coaching as a tool is all about. I don't call myself a coach because coaching is just one of the methods that I use to get to the place that we're getting to, which is clarity around what this entire brand is all about and what it's going to be as you put it forth in the world. And so certainly the work that I do is very, very grounded in practical, proactive solutions and figuring out the next step to create results that you are seeking. At the same time, right, of course, there is an element to it that is, you know, based on self-inquiry, self-reflection, and you know, that part of it is seen by the wider business community as not being necessarily as valuable. And that, you know, if you want to go hire like a boutique fancy agency, that they're just going to give you all the solutions and that that's what's worth paying for. And so I guess part of my message is saying that even if you see yourself as the most professional, fancy business person on earth, that doesn't excuse you from doing the deep work about the self-inquiry and the self-awareness about who are you and what's going to really make this work for you.
Have you ever seen The Sopranos?
I have not.
Okay. Yeah, there's almost, I don't know, maybe two seasons where the mafia don goes to a therapist and he's trying to figure out how to rebrand his mafia, so it's, I don't know why, but I'm just really picturing you as the listener in that scenario.
Well, I'm going to take that as a compliment.
It is a compliment. It's a, you know, it's a very slippery slope, but it's definitely, yeah. So how do you up your skills? Because you need to read a lot of books, I would imagine, on counseling and psychology, not just branding. You know, where do you go to get info to get better?
I am definitely an audiobook junkie. I think I have like close to 200 audiobooks in my Audible account alone. So that's a huge source of inspiration for me. Also, just really opening my mind up to all different modalities of how people are accessing their vision, accessing their inspiration for business, for life, really. This is the kind of thing that, and part of why I share that part of the process for my clients is to step outside of this idea that because you're into business, you can only do XYZ type things. You know, like for me, it's been, I've had to open my own mind to say, hey, you know, I want to be somebody that really succeeds in business. And so that means that I actually need to go explore other realms that support me as a whole human being so that when I show up in my business, that I'm showing up with the kind of strength that I want to be bringing to this process.
Can you share some of your favorite books from the last, I don't know, maybe 12 months?
Absolutely. One that's really stuck out to me lately is called Rocket Fuel. And that's about the breakdown in a partnership between a visionary and an integrator. And what really stuck out to me in that is that I strongly identify as a visionary in my own business. I've played an integrator role for other people in the past, especially when I was doing a lot of client work. But ultimately, what helped me understand was that it's each of us are suited to different kinds of business activities. And for those of us that come from solopreneur backgrounds, we often take on all the hats at once. And then we wonder why we lose motivation around certain aspects of our business. And for me to really understand that as a visionary, to play the role of the integrator, which is what they describe in this book, not just is a different kind of task for me to be doing, but actually putting myself in that role actually takes away from my capacity to perform the functions that a visionary needs to perform. And so it's been a really big lesson for me in staying in my lane and really kind of tailoring the work that I do to the things that I'm very best suited to do and then delegating the rest of it. Another one that stands out also is Sell with a Story. I think it's by Paul Smith. And he really gives really practical examples of how to take things from telling to showing. And this is really important, especially for people who are building personal brands. Like we talked about before, one of the exercises that I always encourage people to do is figure out what's a story that you could tell about yourself and about your transition. And so from that perspective, you know, he really helped me see that stories are the way that people actually understand and remember information. And so what that's meant in terms of my own content is that when I want to share a revelation that I have, rather than just saying, hey, everybody do this, which doesn't really come across that well and also doesn't really make the kind of impact that I want to make, if I instead tell the story of how I came to that revelation, what happens is that people are much more able to identify with the process that I've gone through. And then also it's a lot easier for them to remember that that kind of lesson that is the kernel that I was trying to get at in the first place.
Love it. Where can people find you?
So the best thing the best place to find me is I'm actually going to set up a completely tailored page just for your listeners on my website. And so what we'll do is we'll do the URL is Erica with a C .live/smart. And that will have access to my 10-day free email course, which is called 10 Steps to a Killer Brand. And it basically outlines the first 10 things that I do with my clients when they come to me asking about how can they build their brand. And so that's the best place to go, erica.live/smart. And then also, if you want to find me on social media, my handle is at Erica Blair Live. And that's across all social media, so you can find me there.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect, Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.